I will, one second. All right, praise the Lord. Got it? Don't turn it too loud. You know, give me. Amen. I'm going to have to put this mic on. So not only do I have a dynamite pack, I have a tether. Keeps me straight. Psalm 27, beautiful psalm. Oh, grace and peace to you. Amen. In Psalm 27, beautiful psalm written by David. As you can see, it's an exuberant declaration of faith where it says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." May God add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and the application of his word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A beautiful psalm, great insight from King David, also known as a prophet as well. David was an amazing man, and he gave us the Psalms, insights that are different than much of the praying and the worship singing that we do in our day. Now notice what he says. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." That's what we'll talk about a little bit today. S is for salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We can presume from this passage that David was afraid at times, or he would not have appealed to God. These words that he writes in this psalm collide with and confront our fears with the Lord, who is our light, our salvation, and power. Can you say amen? What was David's specific fear? This deals with people. Because twice it says, "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" He's dealing with the fear of people. We are terrified of people that can or have hurt, abused, or taken advantage of us in the past. They can be our family, neighbors, in our workplace, and sadly, even church. David was fighting the fear of certain people. This made him afraid of being attacked unexpectedly, as if he was in the dark, or being demolished instead of being saved or rescued, or being too weak instead of being strong enough. He knows he must deal with his fear, because fear can make you act against the will of God. The fear of man is a trap, the Bible says. And to be blunt, it makes us cowards. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of people. I don't want to take too long on this, but I know there are preachers that instead of your pastor, someone like myself, that have been in the presence of God, are afraid of people, so they change what they preach to their churches. They develop a new agenda, a new program, because they don't want to offend anyone. Well, you're not being like Jesus, because he offended everyone. You see, I want to say it too, is dealing with your fear of people, there is no sense in hiding your fear from an all-seeing God. Honesty is the best policy in prayer. Admitting what you're feeling. God knows it anyway. What does Jesus say about the fear of man? How does the Son of God advise us and counsel us in dealing with people that we are afraid of? People that could bring us harm. People that could damage us financially, such as someone at work. Maybe your boss expects something from you and you cannot perform that because it's against your beliefs as a Christian. Been there. Car business provides lots of avenues to sin. I wonder what Jesus says. He says this, don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but they can't harm your soul. Instead, you should fear God, who can destroy both body and your soul in hell. Matthew 10, 28. Wow, that settles it. Huh. Seriously, we need to stop being afraid of people. Are you afraid of what's happening in the riots that you've seen recently? Are you afraid of those kinds of people? My son was concerned about me, especially when we were traveling, where I wear my 1776 shirt. He was afraid I was going to get attacked. I didn't care. The Lord is the strength of my life. And I'm a patriot. I love this country. I hope you do too. God bless America. Amen. Amen. Despite what's happening in Babylon, D.C. Amen. When the wicked came against me, he says, to eat my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now, while it is clear, and you heard from your pastor this morning, that while it's clear to us that Satan is our spiritual enemy, and we are engaged in a hostile spiritual war in which we must be fully armed, are we clear on that? Amen. You must be clothed in the armor of God every day. I've told you this before, and it's funny in the last church, so I'll say it again. Don't go be a spiritual streaker. You know what you know that is. Don't go out naked into battle. Don't wish and hope. Make sure you're clothed right. If you get dressed in the morning, you should get dressed spiritually. Say, Lord, protect me today. Clothe me in your armor. I don't know what's ahead or what I'm going to face, but I realize that the enemy is out there and he hates my guts. Can you say amen? That's right. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. And also the Bible tells us, Ephesians 10, verses Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Are you listening to me, saints? This is a battle that we're in. You can't wish and hope that it'll go away. Satan doesn't care your age. He doesn't care how young you are, how old you are. He doesn't care how vulnerable you are, strong that you are. He doesn't care how much money you have or how much money you don't have. He is your enemy, and you must be ready to face him every day with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can God's people say amen? The devil also has his servants, you know. Jesus says they are the wicked. Matthew 13, verse 49. They are called the wicked as opposed to the just or the righteous. You may say your neighbor is nice, but if they don't belong to Jesus, they belong to the devil. See, people don't want to hear that today. This is, the lines have been drawn. You understand? The lines have been drawn. You ought to be concerned for your neighbors and your families and your friends that do not belong to Jesus, because there's no middle ground. You either belong to God or you belong to the devil. You say, well, that seems rude. Aren't we supposed to be nice to people? Nice ain't nothing. What we need to be is truthful with people and speak the love of God to people, yes. But, we need to realize they're in trouble. Jesus says that their father is the devil. John 8, 44, just quoting Jesus. The apostle John differentiates between the children of God and the children of the devil, 1 John 3, 10. Literally, people, we're not talking just spiritual. There are people that belong to the devil. I know it's old time, right? No, it's just Bible. We've lost our way in churches because we've lost the preaching of the Word of God. We know it's true. You know how we know it's true? Because we used to be children of the devil. The Bible says we used to be foolish and disobedient, hating one another. We used to be jealous and full of envy, Titus 3, verse 3. But when God saved us, he brought us out of that darkness. Has anybody been brought out of darkness? I have. Amen. Pastor John likes to call me a man of God, but I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, and a pretty bad sinner. And when God saved us, we became enemies of the dominion of darkness. When you got saved, you got drafted into the Lord's army. Some of you noticed that, didn't you, when you first got saved, didn't you? When you first got saved, people tell you it'd be better. Sometimes it got worse. The Bible does not over-spiritualize life. And it does not hide the fact that there are wicked, evil people that are stronger, more experienced, more influential, more intelligent than us. David describes some of his enemies that God rescued him from in Psalm 18, 17 as his strong enemy, those that hated him, those that were too strong for me. Let me just say this in Psalm 20, so how we doing? Oh yeah, we're keeping it real. My wife and I watch my messages sometimes, whatever, and she's my biggest cheerleader and my biggest critic. And I asked her, what do you think of some of the messages you listen to? She says, Steve, you keep it real. A lot of people don't like that. But we live in this world. We are in the world, but not of this world. We live in this world and we are face to face with dilemmas and problems that attack us all. And we're not always good at what we do. They're not always good at being a Christian. This is not about whether you're a good or a bad Christian. This is whether you're a child of God, and that is all the time. You may be a rebellious son or daughter at times, but he still loves you and you're still in the family. Don't worry, he'll get around to you. Amen. You can laugh, it's okay. You know it's true. In Psalm 27, David paints quite a picture. We have to remember that David was not only the sweet psalmist of Israel, 2 Samuel 23:1, but he was a soldier. So when he sings and when he writes with his heart bent towards God, and the love of God is in the following verses. He loved to be in the presence of God. He loved to be in the sanctuary of God, but he was also a soldier. The Psalms were not written by some effeminate worship leader who lived in a bubble. A scarred veteran wrote the Psalms. I like that. A scarred veteran. One man asked me, he says, who's the guy who wrote the songs in the Bible? The soldier. It was a neighbor of mine, the soldier. He couldn't remember his name, but he remembered after reading the Psalms that it was a soldier. And if you're a soldier, you've been in a battle, you know, we thank you for your service. But there are things in battle that you would like to forget. David was familiar with the victories and the horrors of war. No wonder there's tension in this psalm. Because when you've been, oh, you're not listening, but let me just say this. When you've been through something, and it's that same thing may happen or a similar thing may happen again, you begin to tense up. You've been there before, and you know what might happen. He sees this, what he's going through, as an army that has set up camp and are planning to come eat up David, not only to murder him, but to consume him. These enemies of David want every trace of David gone. Again, we're aware of spiritual attacks and spiritual war crimes that take place. That's true. But the devil, you see, in the spiritual side of this, wants to consume us. He just doesn't want to beat you. He wants you consumed. He wants you to agonize. He wants you to be consumed by sin, by guilt, by fear, by trauma, by anxiety. That's what he wants to happen. You say, this is ugly. This is war. This is war. This is not some video game you play and that you can regenerate someplace or respawn in another place. Don't work that way. There is no respawning here. This is for your life. This is for the life of your family. This is what's going on. And somebody needs to hear this today. They need to understand that this war, it's just reminding you, this is what we're going through. The spiritual and physical enemies of our souls and lives threaten us. They mock us. They wait for us to fail or to be weak. And at that moment, they will attack. How we doing? Some of you are going through some stuff and you know exactly what I'm saying. You're hanging on the words of this message. You know what's happened. It wasn't that God was against you and that when you failed or did wrong things, or you were, no, it wasn't about that. It's about the fact that you belong to God and the enemy was gunning for you. David had enemies. Oh, yes, he did. You will have enemies no matter how pleasant you think you are. Maybe because you're a Christian, that's true. Maybe they just can't stand you for their own reasons. True? You don't know why they don't like you. You don't know why they hate you. We must not be so arrogant to think that everyone will love us. But we must love everyone. You say, darn it, Pastor, why'd you have to say that? I'm going to fight him back. No, love your enemies and be good to everyone that hates you. Luke 6, verse 27. But why is that important? Because there's, let me say it, and I hope you're listening, there's nothing more self-defeating than bitterness. You cannot fight your enemies by being like your enemies. You're going to have to pray God gives you the ability to forgive. This ain't your love. This is God's love in you. Your love only goes so far. Somebody, God's talking to you today. I think we need to this. And if you aren't going through something, maybe these are your battle plans because this is where God is sending you out. Say, well, I don't want fight. I want peace. I want to retire. There ain't no retirement for the child of God. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Don't work that way. Let me just say at the same time, it's not a wrong to expect God to defend you against your enemies. Even Paul in the New Testament says it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those that trouble you. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Now, we are called to bless those that curse us, but we also remember the fearful living God is just, and he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Bless you. Bless you. It's okay. They do something. Bless you. I ain't going to get them back. I'm going to leave this in the hands of God. There's two things happening. Either God's trying to teach you something, or God will get ticked off at what other people do to you. Yes, I said that. Yes, I said that. It's true. Because you are the apple of his eye. You are the focus of his love. And he may let you go through enduring trials with people and have to deal with certain things. But then there's another time when God says, okay, enough. He did it with Nebuchadnezzar, if you ever get a chance. Nebuchadnezzar was treated like God's child for a while. He was a vessel of his vengeance against the sin of Israel. But then he went too far. God said enough. I said glory. We're giving you insights today. These things they don't preach about anymore. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I want to comfort you with those words. Because though God is merciful, he is also just. The Lord shall judge his people. That doesn't mean judgment to condemn them. The Lord will judge his people. He acts in justice towards his people as well. And he's kind to them and he will defend them. Somebody say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Thinking about this, David says these words, with knowing all these things, my heart shall not fear. And in this I will be confident. You notice I skipped verse 1 for a minute. We'll get to that. I just want to talk about the drama of it. You ever watching a movie? Huh? They introduce the characters. They introduce the protagonist and the antagonist. Amen. How many of you know by the time they're done with the antagonist or the bad guy, you're like, ooh, I hope he gets his. Well, that's good. That's good movie making, man. You're mad with them. You want to be mad when you're watching this. That's the picture that he paints. In what way will David be unafraid and confident? As a Christian, there are times you will be anxious, even afraid on the eve of battle. You may be facing this something that you don't real. You say, something's going to happen. I look at this and I don't know how to deal with this. And God wants you to learn how to harness that fear. Yes. You see, good to use that anxiety to go to the Lord. You see, because like I said, if you've been in battle, you know what it's like. So you learn at this moment, if you learn anything as a child of God, one thing I have to learn as a pastor, I study hard and I pray. I'll give you a message. I study hard. I pray. I go over the message. I preach it to myself. I go over these things, but then I offer my pathetic prayers at the end and say, God, my words can do nothing. I need you to work through me. Some of you are listening to me. You see, you're dealing with things. You've made your plans. You've made your efforts. You've done everything that you could. But the bottom line is that you need the Lord to come through for you. And so you must pray. You must harness your fears and your anxieties and be a student that learns that it is the Lord that convinces us of victory. He sets the Lord's light and salvation and power against his enemies. I love in Psalm 34 and verse 4, he says in another place here beautifully, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's Psalm 34, verse 4. You need to pray that. You're afraid of this happening to your family or to your son or daughter. You're afraid of this happening to your wife or husband. You have a fear that things are going to happen. Even Pastor John confessing, he says, you never know what's going to happen. But the Lord is our strength. He is our salvation. He is our light. And child of God, you've tasted victory before, haven't you? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've tasted victory. You've had answered prayer. Some of you need to remind yourself of how God has been so good to you. Yes, how he healed you, how he protected you from harm. Some of you have walked out of a car accident with you should have died, and the Lord protected you, huh? That's right. There are things that should have happened. You thought you were going to lose your house, and God came through, huh? Amen. All these, you've tasted victory before. And David's tasted it, you have. So don't lose faith now. Like David, we know that our enemies will stumble and fall. He says, my enemies. Did you notice in that verse? They stumbled and fell. You've seen it before, hasn't he? He has seen the Lord give him victory numerous times. You don't remember the popular song in Israel? The popular dance that was going on? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. David has known the taste of victory. Saul hated him, but he offered him to become his son-in-law. Have you remember that story? I don't mean to get ugly here, but he says to David, I know you're a poor man, and this and that, but I'll tell you what, you can marry my daughter, Michal, if you kill 100 Philistines and bring home their foreskins with you. You know, foreskins. You have to go into biology. David went out there and he got him 200 Philistines. Amen. And he brought those foreskins back in a bag. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, because the one who hated him wanted to see him destroyed. He sent him out on a mission that he thought would bring him harm. They're not listening to me, Pastor John. Are you listening to me today? You understand? You thought it would bring him harm. You were afraid, but you knew you had to go anyway. And the Lord gave you victory. Hallelujah. He gave you double victory. Amen. You say, do you believe in this stuff, Pastor? Yes, absolutely I do. Like you, there are times I'm anxious. There are times that I'm fearful. I deal with things. I go, I ask for prayer. I'm honest with my brethren. I seek the face of the Lord. I ask for this, and God supports me. He upholds me. There will be times that your heart is beating fast in your chest. You don't know what's going to happen, and everybody thinks you're cool. You know what I'm saying? They don't see it on your face. You're kind of like the duck in the pond. You know, the web feet are going, but it looks real calm on the surface. Everybody thinks, how can you be so calm? Oh, if you would admit it to him, you say you're not calm, but you know that the Lord is your light. You only appreciate the Lord's light when it's dark. Those times when anxiety and fear disturb your sleep, you've wept, your heart is pounded in anxiety, fear has gripped your mind, it has been dark for some of you. Whisper a prayer that turns on the lights. The Lord is your light, amen. Well, what should I pray, Pastor? Here's a good one, Micah 7, verses 7 through 8. Therefore I look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. You may be sitting in darkness now, but the Lord is your light. Amen. You may fall. You may sin. You may stumble at times in this thing. Don't look at me, saints, like that. I know you have to straighten your halo in the mirror just like I do every day. Yeah, that's right. There's things that go on. There's things you don't talk about. I heard one preacher say this. I'm going to keep talking here, but I heard one preacher say this. Do you realize sometimes why you're alone when things are going bad? So God has been merciful to you so people don't see you, how you're reacting. He's saving your rep. But you know what? We're all human beings. We all have frailties and faults and sins, and the enemy would like to use them against you. Well, how can you pray? You did this and you did that. You said, you know what? You said, people come up to you and they say, you're a jerk. You say, you know what? You're right. I am a jerk. But the Lord has saved me. Amen. He has forgiven me of my sins and my jerkiness. Amen. Hallelujah. And He is on my side. He's in my favor. Amen. Amen. So it doesn't matter who I am. It only matters who he is. Yes. You know, I tell you that when I read these things, I look at this and I remember what we're talking about today. The Lord is your salvation. It's not just the Lord will give you light. The Lord is your light. The Lord is not just giving you salvation. The Lord is your salvation. You know the greatest gift you got when you were saved? Jesus. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. You mean the Lord belongs to me? Yes, he does. And you belong to him. Amen. You belong together. Amen. God thought about this a long time, even before you were born, and he chose you to himself. The Lord is your salvation. Why do you say that's important for us? Hear me on this. Whatever attempts to handicap your conscience and make you feel that you are unworthy of God and unacceptable to him in the time of trial. All right. You've sinned. You've done wrong things. And you're thinking, he's getting me back. I knew I shouldn't have died. I was waiting for it. The boom was lowered. Damocles' sword's been hanging over my head. I knew God would get me back. I'm sorry for you. Listen, if God would get you back, he would have to apologize for Calvary. Because Jesus took the penalty and the consequences of all our sins upon himself. Amen. You've been a child of God. You are a baptized in water believer. Amen. You have left your old life behind to serve God in newness of life. And at times you feel like you've done wrong things. And there, God is holding it against me. He won't answer my prayer. He won't. We sin and fail so often, saints. We have many doubts and are faltering in our faith. And I've had people say it to me, God's against me. He's not going to help me this time. I tell you the truth. David feeling this. David felt this. I love reading through the Psalms. And as I read through these Psalms, David felt the same way as us. Constantly he's praying prayers like this. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs of my head. I've lost all courage. The Psalms, they're not like our cheeky little worship songs, are they? Huh? They're real. They keep it real. And I'm feeling this way. My sins have outnumbered. They're piled so high I can't see my way out. They number the hairs of my head. I've lost courage. Listen, that's why some of you are losing courage in this time of trial, because you think, well, I deserve this. This happened to me. I was wrong. I sinned. I did evil against God. And so what happened? He's holding it against me. You see, God does not deal with you on the basis of your inconsistent obedience. He does not deal with you on the basis of your disobedience. I know some of you hadn't heard this before, but this is what we call the gospel. Listen, I love my theology, and I've studied this out, and I'm glad it's true. I want to point you to Jesus. He is your Savior. He is your salvation. He protects your soul. You see, God doesn't look at your inconsistent ways. He looks at the perfect obedience of Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why is that important? Because if he looks at the perfect obedience of Jesus, you don't have to be constantly looking within like you're some kind of monk or some kind of nun. I'm sinning again. Look at my dirty heart. You know, when we sing Psalm 51, we need to be careful. God has accomplished all of those things for us. He's already given us a clean heart. He's already given us a faithful spirit. You see, Calvary doesn't say do. It says done.
One man was joking about Christians and other religions, and he was joking in a good way. He says, other religions say do, but Christianity says dun, 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 dun. I kind of liked it. It was a goofy father joke, but you know what I'm saying. Done. Finished. Accomplished. There's nothing that you can earn. You can walk through glass. You could attend church and perfect attendance in Sunday school. You don't wonder what that is. We used to have that. You could be perfect in your tithing. You could be an incredibly moral person. You could do all these good things, and I tell you the truth, you'll go straight to hell. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus accomplishes for us in his perfect obedience. We call it his active obedience. And then in his passive obedience, he laid down his life for us and died in our place. Amen. He suffered all of sin's penalties and powers. And he took into himself. He suffered our hell. And then when he comes back, he holds the keys. The Bible says, I preached this before. I want to say it again. He holds the keys of death and the grave. And when you got saved, he took you right out of hell and he locked the doors behind you, and then he opened heaven to you, child of God, and you will never be condemned ever again. So you can serve him now. You can love your neighbor freely, not have to constantly examine yourself like you're back in Rome again. How many of you know what I'm saying? Anyway, not Italians, you know, Rome. Understanding this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Some of you need strength today. Some of you young now, but you're going to get older. It's going to be harder to do things. You don't want to hear about that, but it's coming. Your turn's coming. But you know what? That's why older people pray more. Oh, God, help me to move this thing. Oh, God, help me to lift this thing. You got to do it now. Amen. And I say that jokingly, but you know what? There are those of you that are not as strong as you used to be because of your age. Some of you have been struck with disease and it's made you feel vulnerable. The uncertainty of finances and paying your bills leaves you feeling powerless. Your friends and family are either gone or constantly in need, and you feel your efforts are feeble. You know, there's so many things we used to trust in. We considered them our strength, our intellect, our experience, our work ethic, our discipline, our physical strength, our appearance, our popularity, our friends, and our family. But these things eventually come up short and fail. You cannot save yourself in these times. But listen to what the Lord says. Don't let wise people brag about their wisdom. Don't let strong people brag about their strength. Don't let rich people brag about their riches. If they want to brag, they should brag that they understand and know me, God says. That they should brag that I, the Lord, act out of love, righteousness, and justice on the earth. This kind of bragging pleases me, declares the Lord. I got that from a different version in Jeremiah 9, verses 23 through 24. You want to brag? I know the Lord. I may not be the strongest, the brightest, the best good looking. Nah, that's okay. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the strength of my life. Don't be distracted. We're getting, I guess my time's up. I don't know what happened there. But can I turn it off? It's all right. You can hear me, right? Let's see here. Glory to God. Technology will fail you, but the Lord, he won't fail you. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. When it's dark, you can't save yourself. You need the light of God. When you're weak, you need to pray. Because the word of God is bigger than your enemies. Only Jesus can save you. Let's stand. Takes me a while to get through the Bible. Every time I do 1 Corinthians 14 on Wednesday nights, I figured if I do 5 verses a week, it'll take me 8 weeks. It's 40-something verses in there. Why do you take your time? Because I chew my food. Now our worship team can come up. I wanted to share this with you today before we begin to close in prayer. You've heard me preach the gospel to you. You say, I'm a good person. No, you're not. You may be moral. You may be good as far as certain things. But the Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all, the Bible says, every man has sinned. Every woman has sinned. There's no one that stands righteous before God. But in that case, Jesus comes. Jesus comes and he dies on the cross for us in our place. I can never get tired of telling this to people. I talk to people about it again this week. I get to witness to people all the time. They're surprised because I'm familiar with their religions. Because I study other religions, so I'm ready how to defend my faith. They're surprised I know about things. But hear me on this. People need answers. And you're the only one who's there. Can't call pastor. Can't call one of the deacons. No, don't work that way. You're on. Let me tell you something. If you walk with the Lord, let me ask you something. Do I want to come into a church? This people ain't going to like this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do I want to come into a church where there are no divorced people? There's no people that struggled with addiction. Do I want to come into a church where people haven't bombed out financially? No. I got good news for you. The ground is level at the cross. This is a time where we need to take the Lord even more serious. The signs are all there, saints. Everything we've talked about for years is happening. Jesus, in his coming, is closer than the first day we believed. And that was written 2,000 years ago. They expected him to come. And now we see the signs more than ever. Now we live in a time where we can see the book of Revelation fulfilled before our eyes. Where the whole world can see what's happening. And I tell people this at work, get ready. Get ready. Jesus is coming. My question to you is, are you ready? If you're a Christian child of God, yes, you are. But if you don't really know the Lord, if you don't know what it is to be born again, to have your heart changed from stone to flesh, there's an invitation given to you today. Jesus says this, come to me. All you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. You've been fighting your own battles. How's it been working for you? You're in a place where it seems like no one can help. It's okay. I've got a Savior whose arm is not too short. Amen. And he has not gone deaf. He has heard your cries. In fact, you being here today is an answer to your prayer. I can't say it often, I'm an answer to somebody's prayer. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying? God uses the weak things, the things that are nothing, to confound the strong and the wise. You may feel like you're nothing today, but you're the one God wants to use the most because you know you've got nothing to prove, nothing to lose. And talking to you, Christian, today, I'm wondering, some of you have gone through some real battles. God bless you. It's been hard. But in these few moments, I'd like to pray with you. If you feel like today, and again, I don't take this lightly. I always try to be careful about this. But if you need prayer today, if you need God to come through for you today, just for a few moments, we're not going to take a long time, but for a few moments, if you want to step forward and say, I've been in the dark, Pastor, I'm struggling. I need the Lord's strength. I need Him to save me from my situation. You can work your way forward. Listen, don't ever be embarrassed. The pastor's up here first. Isn't that right? We're always first at the altar call, even though we're calling it. Amen. Listen, come forward. Ask for God for His help. We'll pray with you today. Why do that, Pastor? Because it's good to pray with two or three people, the Bible says, doesn't it? God answers prayer that way. And also it helps us to remember you. We don't need specifics. It helps us to remember that you're needing prayer. And we're going to pray for you and wait for the testimony. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say it again. We're going to pray for you and wait for the testimony. I won't embarrass them if somebody asks me this week, how do you pray for this? How do you pray for that? Well, hey, praise the Lord. Hey, man, I know how to pray for that. I've had to do it myself. That's what brethren are all about. How did you deal with this? So often we come and we're looking for this or for that, but take advantage of your pastors and people who are older in the Lord and say, how did you deal with this? Have you ever had to deal with something like that? You'd be surprised. I say glory, glory. I'm just waiting on the Lord for a second here. Glory to God. But if not, it's okay. I'm just going to pray for you. And let's ask the Lord's blessing upon you today. But if you need special prayer, you're more than welcome. But I'm going to begin to pray now. Father, in Jesus' name, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, take the words that were spoken today and the utterance of the Word of God, and that it would go deep into our hearts. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word goes deep, Lord, and you say, let your words come into our heart, for they will bring health even to our body and to our spirit. God, let these words spoken today be life and health for the people of God. Let the Spirit of God make these words real. Lord, this is not pie in the sky preaching that we do here at Shepherd of the Valley. This is keeping it real, addressing the issues, talking about what God says in His Word. Amen. We don't need to hear from experts and gurus. We need to hear from the Lord God Almighty. God, we pray that this word will energize our hearts. Lord, there are people been down, they've been discouraged, they've been anxious, but this word has gone forth to bring them life and health. Lord, that they've been strengthened by this word, and that the love of God has been made real to them again and again and again. Lord, let them know that they've been forgiven of their sins. Let them know that their sins have been cast into the sea of your forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. It's always a clean slate with you, Jesus, because you have accomplished redemption for us. In Jesus' name, with uplifted hands, May the Lord our God bless us. May the Lord our God be gracious to us. May the Lord our God smile upon us. Lord, take your grace and place it in our hearts and give us peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.